Good evening, Rabbi Mayevsky. The parsha this week begins Ve'elah Mishpatim. Well, we have to get a little bit of a background here. Moshe is facing a situation here where the Bnei Yisrael have been, he's suggested by Yisro, who sees Moshe, his son-in-law, sitting Miboker at Erev answering questions. And he said this is not a good idea, but Moshe feels on one level that for the very first time they're hearing the laws, it should be probably from him directly. As we see later on, when he leaves Aaron in charge a couple of times throughout the Chumash, disaster strikes, and Moshe is trying to derive at an even balance. And the pasuk that this week that strikes me is, I began the title and I said, beware of the downtrodden, always look out for the underdog, which is what God is telling us. And we have that in the pasuk over here that we deal in this week's parsha, which is a very innocent pasuk. It says, "In kesef talves ami." And on the surface, it gives us the rules and regulations that should somebody be asked for a loan, and he gives them a loan. But there's a lot more in that if you take a look at the words. And I'll get back to what I mean by that, because it says, "Imtesa kesef talves ami." And the question is, why? This is just my observation. Why in the world doesn't it say, like most of the time in the Chumash, it says, it should have said, "Im kesef talveh esamcha," if you will lend one of your people, you lend him some money, one of your people. But God makes an interesting turn of a phrase here and says, if you will lend my people, which is why I say it's a very dangerous game. And Moshe realizes he's dealing with many different groups of people. While everybody was of the same thought, but not everybody's on the same level. And we see that from going back to 2 weeks. I wasn't here for Parshas B'Shalach, but what I wanted to mention, something very interesting about the Shira. And the Shira begins, Oz Yashir, as we're all aware, we say it every day in Davening. Excuse me. Oz Yashir Moshe es Hashira Hazos. The interesting thing about that phrase is the Pusik says, Es Hashira Hazos by Omru Lamar. What do you mean, Es Hashira Hazos, this song? And on the surface, it would seem that this is the words, Hashira Hazos, these are the words. But it could have easily, just as easily said, and we're always concerned about any extra words. Oz Yashir Moshe Es Hashira by Omru Lamar. He sang a song, and this is what he said. But Hashira Hazos seems to signify something in particular. And what he did over here, Moshe realizes he's talking to different groups of people. And he realizes there's three different groups of people. There's some people who see things on a very basic level. They're not able to get deep into the matter, but they just take a look. They're from the Show Me State of Missouri, and they just notice what they see in front of them, and that's all that they could handle. And then there are people who look a little bit beneath the surface and begin to understand certain factors that are not totally visible to the naked eye. And then there are some people who are even a deeper level, have a tremendous understanding of God and begin to understand the ramifications. And what I mean by that, the Shira is divided into three parts. And the first part begins, Es Hashira Zos Lemar Vayomru Lemar. They see Sus Varoch Bo Roma Vayom. Can't miss that. It's staring them in the face. They thought they were on the brink of extinction. And suddenly now God thrusts the water down upon the Egyptians. And all they can see is the Bnei Yisrael winning over here, where the Egyptian army are vanquished in front of their eyes. They are down in turmoil. And they're sinking with all their horse and rider. And they see that on a very basic level. And then we reach the next level of person who doesn't see things that clear. They see things clearly, but they see more than that. And the next part of the Shira begins, Uvruach apecho nerem umayim. They see things on a whole different level. They notice that the when they blow, the air that comes out of your mouth, we've mentioned before, the air that comes out of your mouth, you blow cold air. But when the air that comes from the nostrils is warm and the water is still frozen solid over there, even though there's so much warm air from 3 million people, generates a lot of warm air. And God is keeping the ice frozen, so to speak, or not so to speak. In reality, the water is not moving. And they see on a deeper level, they have more bitachon, and they see things, the greatness of God here. And then there are people who see beyond that. They see something very original here, and they begin to see the ramifications of what's going on when they're crossing the sea. Which I mean, they see Hashem Yimloch Liolom Voed, Shamu Amim Yergozun, Chilochaz Yoshvei Peloshes. They see the effects, the ramifications of what's going on. The world around them is taking notice, and this will have a very lasting effect. And this is what we saw last week in Yisro. Yisro understood the ramifications, and he was overwhelmed. But we get to this week's parsha, and Moshe has been asked to find some underlings to Sarei Alofim, Sarei Meos, for various things. The Arba Benel makes a very interesting point when it says Sarei Alofim, Sarei Meos. It doesn't mean people that will judge over how many people, but dollar values. He makes a mention of we have grand larceny and this petty theft. And in other words, Sarei Alofim, Sarei Meos. There are judges that can rule up to X amount of dollars, and there are judges that can rule up to thousands of dollars. And now we come to the point where, obviously, if somebody's going to lend money to somebody else, he's somebody with capital, that he has disposable capital, and he could lend money to somebody. But God is telling us over here, be very careful how you go about doing this. Lo sia lo kenoshe im es ami. God is warning you that these are not just your people. If you're lending money, remember, I want you to lend money, not im. If you, when you lend money, and you better, it's a warning. Es ami. Im kesef talve es ami. These are my people. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. All of you belong to me. So if you're lending money, you're lending it to my people. God is putting everyone, including you, on his watch list, how you spend your money. It's a very insightful point of view when he doesn't say, es ha'ami imach, with you. It's not your people, it's my people. Bonim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem. You all belong to me. And that's the point he's trying to make. And therefore, when we get to the pasuk, when Geri Almano lo sanun imanei saaneo so, this is one of the most interesting psukim in all of Chumash. It's because the entire pasuk has a double language. It's Lashon Kefel. Imanei saaneo so ki imtzaok yitzak elai shamoa eshmat zako so. God is putting you on notice. That if, even when you're right, a lot of times you lend somebody money and you have a right to collect, but somehow that person does not have the ability to pay back. Now, how do you deal with that person? Do you hound him constantly? Well, certainly you would think that you have a right. But God is telling you over here, be very careful, and especially when you're dealing with widows and orphans. When you're dealing with widows and orphans, and you go ahead and you plague them and you try to get your money and put upon them, you may be in the right, but the reality is when they cry out to me, they are the downtrodden, they are the underdog, and I will come to their rescue. And not only that, how will I come to the rescue? And if you take a look at the wording over here once again, we harp on so many times chaser and mole on the words. Almanos is spelled mole. In other words, there's vav after each one that that has the cholam there. Almanos, after the nun, there is almanos. And that means that the women, the wives of these people, when the husband goes missing, they will be agunos. They will not find that body. And vahayun sheichem almanos, their wives will become almanos. Just like you mistreated that almana, you will become one of those, your wife will become one of those almanos, and she will never be able to get remarried because you will remain a missing person. Uvenechem yisomim is chaser. You know why? Because they will never be able, since their father is missing and the child grows up, he won't be, as the Gemara says, yored lenichse oviv. He won't be able to collect from his father's estate because his father is missing. They don't know. He might be alive. So he can't take control of the estate. So he's also left out in the cold. And he's chaser at that point in time. God spells out everything very carefully. The parsha is talking to other judges over here. The Eileh HaMishpotim. What is Moshe trying to say over here? The hemshech from last week's parsha to this week's parsha is, it says Moshe is looking for judges who can be trusted to do the job of ferreting out any misdeeds. And to do that, you have to be able to see things clearly as a judge. And that is why the parsha ends, or Ve'ela Mishpatim. Why is there a vav on the Ela? Basically, the parsha should have started, Ela HaMishpatim, these are the laws, not and. Imagine starting a composition with the word and or however. What do you mean? And therefore, what we're trying to say is over here, Lo saleh b'malos al mizbechi, asher lo sigol eras cholov. What is God trying to say? If you want to approach me, you want to attain greatness, must be very humble. Lo saleb malos al mizbechi. You want to get close to God. It's a very slow process, and you have to be humble. As we're told, heavy shval ruach. You have to be a very humble person to be a significant judge who's successful, that people react to. Once somebody becomes too haughty, too arrogant, and he believes in himself to be this very important judge, he loses sight of the people he's ruling over. And therefore, he is going to be subject to Vayun Sheikhem Almonos Uvenechem Yisomim. We have to be very careful. And that is the problem we see today in the judicial society, what the Torah is trying to tell. V'ela Mishpatim, these are the laws that separate us, Asher Tosim Lifnehem V'lo Lifnei Akum. These are the laws that separate a good Jewish judge, a good Jewish dayan, to our civil courts in the country. You notice one thing, we have over 2 million or X amount of million people in prisons in this country. In Judaism, there was no such concept as jail. There were holding cells for a time till somebody comes to trial, but there was no jail imprisonment, because what does that accomplish? If somebody goes to jail, if a man who's the breadwinner goes to jail and he has a wife and 4 children, how does one extricate himself from that? Does the wife and children end up to be on welfare? How do they survive rationally? Well, if they go to work, if the man has to go to work off his debt that he stole from the person or however that's going to work, then that is what that person has to do. He has to take in those people. And therefore, how does he make up his losses for feeding a man, a woman, and perhaps 5 or 6 children as well? Well, that's when in Madonavi Ten Loi Shah, the man has to give the woman, the balabais, the owner of the house who he's working for, has the right to give a woman, a shiksa, to this man as a wife and produce new slaves for him to have. Not that the Torah wants slaves, but nevertheless, this is what we're talking about in Eved Kenayni. This way he produces to mitigate his costs of feeding a family. And that's why also, that a man who comes alone, he's an unmarried man, the balabais cannot give him a shiksa. It's only a married man. And there's a very good reason for that. If the man is not married and his first wife in the world is going to be an Eved Kenainis, a woman who's not even a Jew at this point in time, who hasn't been brought up Jewish, then this becomes his experience with a Jewish woman, his experience in marriage, which won't bode well for him later in life. So therefore, we want him to remain single as opposed to that. But this alleviates the jail system for these, anything that's not violent crime. Violent crime, we know how it's dealt with, that there is a place where they did have holding pens facilities, but not for any extended periods of time. The Torah is given everything in just desserts. As we see in one pasuk that stands out in this parsha, it says, V'ish ki imkar ish es bito liyama, that stands out. It says, if a man sells his daughter to somebody else for a maidservant, so the question is asked, how come it says ish? It should have said, ki imkar av es bito liyama. A father sells his daughter, not a man. Well, the answer is, we know as Jews, any man that sells his daughter into, so to speak, this modicum of slavery is not a father. He's just a man who has a child. He's not acting as a father should act. There's a main difference that Moshe is trying to impart to Klal Yisrael at this time. There are laws that are for us, and there are laws that are for them, and never the twain shall meet. We can see that. And we have to separate it. And that's the beauty of having a Beis Din. Unfortunately, we've had many bad stories here. But generally speaking, we have to keep in mind how we have to conduct ourselves. And that's why Moshe is saying, V'ela ha-mishpotim asher tosim lifneihem. These are the rules and regulations I want you to strive to live up to. But this can only be if you are humble enough to attain that stature as a judge. Lo saleh b'malos al mizbechi. Don't think of yourself too holy. You have to climb that ladder very slowly and deserve it. It's not where you just climb very simply. You have to be a humble person. And that's the beginning. And Moshe is trying to impart that to the judges, which this parsha is all about. May we all be zocha to have judges in our lives that adjudicate all our laws that we're looking forward to, or have situations that they come to a decision that meets with all our Torah laws. Thank you and have a good week.